Hi, today is February 2nd, 2019, and this is Mobile Views Podcast number 285? That sound right? 286. 85, 86.
Oh, good question. Well, yeah. Let's see. In our show notes, we said last week was 285, so this is probably 86.
286, then. 286, and today is the Chinese New Year Day. So those are, or Lunar New Year, depending on what you call it. It's a year of the pig. It's a happy pig day. Also, Groundhog Day. And I understand Punxsutawney Phil did not see his shadow.
Mm-hmm.
But based on his track record, doesn't mean a darn thing. I think
that's very true.
Yeah.
And nobody in Pennsylvania ever complains if he gets, you know, it wrong and there is no more winter. In this case, hopefully he got it right and there's no more winter.
Right.
But.
Right. So, we'll see. Speaking of pigs, Google Plus is shutting down on April 2nd. And boy, what a pig that service was. I mean, it turned out to be not just undesirable in the sense that hardly anybody uses it, but it was a security hole of gigantic proportions, which is one of the reasons why they're shutting it down. Apparently, it's the security hole is so giant and so difficult, and there's so little value to the service, they're not even going to bother to fix it. They're just shutting it down.
Yeah, that's an interesting tack to take, you know?
Yeah.
This thing sucks so badly, yeah. We're just going to get rid of it. It doesn't really matter at all.
Yeah. It makes you wonder, doesn't it?
It makes you wonder if it was ever a decent sort of thing. And honestly, I don't think anyone ever really got into Google Plus. So obviously I've been getting the emails about, you know, you had a Google Plus account, you know,
right.
Download your stuff, we're going to get rid of it.
Right.
So occasionally I look at it, and there just really isn't anything I ever did with that platform that I think was important. And I'm looking back at our show notes, and we've talked about it precisely, I think, two times in the past at least 150 or so shows today. And we mentioned that when Google Photos was split off, it was split off from Google Plus.
I forgot about that, but that's true.
Yeah, but that was on May 31st, 2015, in podcast 118. We talked about that. So that's how you know Google Plus was a pretty bad platform, that anything good that was in it got just
ejected
out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, in 2015.
Let's save what's worth it.
Yeah, I would be very annoyed if Google Photos just went away.
Right.
But Google Plus, I will not lose any sleep over.
It is, you know, I completely forgot about that. I'm glad you looked it up because Google Photos is one of my favorite Google services.
Yeah.
And probably, you know, the service many people don't know about because it's really not that social.
Yeah, I think Google Photos is probably my favorite Google service. I use Gmail for all of my personal email, but I hardly ever use the web interface anymore.
Yeah.
If I end up using either Apple Mail or I end up using Microsoft Outlook on iOS, so the only time I use the webmail client for Gmail is when I'm on a Windows machine, because Windows Mail is just a horrible piece of software for Gmail.
Yeah.
But yeah, Google Plus is nothing, but Google Photos is probably everything Google for me these days.
Yeah. Well, at least they split off something worth saving, so that's the good thing. And well, I can't say I'm going to miss Google Plus much. I mean, I used it in the beginning. I kept hoping it would be a reasonable alternative to Twitter and Facebook, but it never was.
No, it really wasn't. And it was really hard to interface with in the beginning. I remember when, you know, you would be easily able to cross post from Twitter to Facebook to, you know, other things. It was a real pain to try to cross post to Google Plus. Which probably hurt its integration very quickly out of the box.
My recollection is that Google Plus either never had or had very late the ability to write to it from an API. And so no one could write a client for it or, you know, or something to share, you know, like you said, like to cross-post to it, at least easily via an API.
Well, yeah, Google's idea was that you would use their interface for everything. And while that is good for individual users, it's horrible for content creators.
Yeah.
And social platforms just don't work that well without content creators pushing things through.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't have any show notes, but I think Hangouts is going to close sometime in the near future. Or at least morph into something. I don't know what. Google Chat or something like that.
As we see this, I am just more and more amazed that Google Voice is still around.
I'm grateful.
Even has signs of life. I'm grateful for it too because I use that service quite a bit. But I'm pleasantly amazed and grateful that it's still around. All I can figure is that Google Voice plays some critical role to internal Google that we don't know about.
Right.
And it's their phone system or something. Keep it going. Yeah, something like that. So.
And although I can't use it on Android, ironically enough, because I'm on Google Fi, and you cannot have a Google Fi account and Google Voice running at the same time, they have been updating their iOS app, so I am also grateful for that, you know, keeping the iOS app up to date and keeping the service alive. Please don't kill it, Google, because I'd be
very
sad.
Look at some of the features that we thought would never show up to it, and they showed up just like 5 years late, like MMS messaging.
You know, that disappeared, didn't it?
I can get pictures now through my Google Voice number. Yeah. I never could do that before.
Wow.
It only showed up 5 years after every other service offered it, but better late than never.
True. And better late than, you know, dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, much better. Okay, now speaking of dead, you gave up on it. I've been waiting for our iPad Mini 5 since 2015, I think. I think it was fall of 2015 and iPad Mini 4 was released, or announced at least. And I've been using mine faithfully nearly every day and hopeful that a new iPad Mini would come out for two reasons. One, I'd like to have an iPad Mini running the latest iOS because I refuse to upgrade my iPad Mini 4 so I can continue playing Civilization Revolution on it. But two, I'm also hopeful, maybe too hopeful, that it will support the Apple Pencil, which I don't expect, but I'm hoping.
Well, so, you know, a product goes 683 days without an update, and you think it's dead. but apparently it is not. There have been a lot of rumors about the iPad Mini lately, and one of them I saw this week, and I don't have a source for it. I'm not looking for a good source right now, was that it actually would support Apple Pencil.
Yeah.
That was something I saw in an article this week, and I thought, well, it might be worth thinking about. I have a very nice iPad Pro that I just bought, so I would really have to see great price and Apple Pencil support for me to consider buying it in addition to my iPad Pro. But still, Apple is perhaps doing something interesting with the iPad Mini.
Yeah. I think even without the Apple Pencil support, I will buy it, although less happily. But if it has Apple Pencil support, I will rush to my keyboard to pre-order it or whatever it is required of me to get one in my greedy little hands. You know, I know you don't have the same fondness for the iPad Mini that I do, but boy, I am so dependent on it. I won't say I use it more than my iPad Pro, but I would say I use it quite a bit.
Well, I became very dependent on it. It was probably the iPad that I used the most before I went down to one iPad.
Yeah.
But when I realized I had too many iPads,
yeah,
and that was about the time I noticed that the 12-inch iPad Pro was sitting in a drawer and I hadn't opened it in a few months, I realized, you know, what size do I need? And it was the full size because that's what I use at work. So I forced myself to get into the mindset of using a full-sized iPad for reading when laying in bed. And yeah, it was a little bit more weight to hold up when I started out, but now I'm kind of used to it again. So it would be very tempting to consider an iPad Mini, but I'd have to weigh the benefit of going to just one iPad versus when I used to have two or three.
Yeah, you kind of became the Marie Kondo of iPad tidying.
I did. I sold three iPads within a two-month period of time.
Yeah, did you thank each iPad for its service before you released it back into the wild?
It didn't seem like, you know, and I had gotten annoyed at all of them for some reason or another. So, you know, they brought some joy, but not as much as they could have.
Well, not enough joy for you to keep.
Yeah, they were bringing more annoyance in the plethora of them. The three of them and the fact that I could have probably gotten away with just one was something that I was very happy to find when I switched back to just one.
All right. Next up, speaking of mobile devices, I forget how, I may have seen an ad or something somewhere. Or I think I got an email. I saw, I learned about a $350 Chromebook called the Acer Chromebook Spin 11. And the interesting thing about it, aside from its price, $350 list, is that it was designed for the educational market, but you know, it has a lot of features I really like. You know, it has a touch screen, it has a 360-degree hinge, so you can fold up the keyboard behind the screen and use it as kind of a slate, not kind of, but use it as a slate. But more interestingly, it has something called the a Wacom, and I had to check the pronunciation. I always pronounced Wacom, but apparently W-A-C-O-M is pronounced Wacom, EMR stylus. And I thought, you know, what does that mean? You know, you folks who need to do digital work with a stylus know a lot about Wacom, the company. You know, they before iPads, that was pretty much the only way you could do digitization or artwork or anything in any kind of precision. So I thought, well, that'd be really interesting. I should also note that EMR stands for electromagnetic resonance. Kind of sounds like you're going to get some kind of a medical device. But the interesting thing is that this Wacom EMR pen does not have any batteries. It's a passive device, but they say that this EMR technology is resonance technology. By creating creating a magnetic field that sends out a frequency that is picked up by the pen. And this transfers energy into the pen wirelessly, like a tuning fork makes a piano wire move. That's how they describe it. And once the pen is energized, it redirects that energy through the pen circuitry. So it does have circuitry as an RF signal. And then the sensor stops sending and switches over to listening. Anyway, basically, it's an intelligent stylus that doesn't need to be charged or have batteries replaced. And that is what is used with this Acer Chromebook. And thought, that's kind of interesting, you know? So I'm thinking, well, I've been kind of wanting a second Chromebook to do some experiments with, or you know, just have a second Chromebook and do the experiments with my current one, or whatever the case may be. And thought, well, maybe this is the way I do it. So I've been giving it some thought. It's $350 list. Amazon has it, I think, for $330 essentially, and I'm giving it some thought to picking up my second Chromebook. I don't know. There's also a Spin 13, which is a 13-inch display. And I think if it has the same features, I may go with that, because I'm using a 12-inch Chromebook now. And that size I like it a lot. 11 is in a little small size, kind of like my original MacBook Air. And 12 or 13, I think, would be a better size. So, at any rate, maybe one of these weeks we'll be talking about a new Chromebook. And maybe I can try some of the Linux container stuff. I think it's called Crostini, that is available on Chromebooks now, so you can run Linux software in a container, which is kind of neat. Anyway, so Acer Chromebook Spin 11. That's what I'm looking at now. It's $329 on Amazon plus shipping, and plus shipping, $329 plus tax, since we have excise tax here in Hawaii. $350 list. You're still not interested in Chromebooks, are you?
Yeah, I'm staying away from them just because I don't want to have another fragmentation. You know, the iPad debacle of 2017 with three different iPads is making me still leery about adding new devices to my repertoire, especially now that I've started just carrying my iPad Pro and leaving my Surface Pro at my one office and having an old MacBook Air at the other office. So, I don't know. It's something that I would have to see a Chromebook in action and play with one to really get excited about it. But I think if you would like to experiment with them, you should go right ahead and do that.
Yeah, I'm giving it some thoughts. It's Saturday as we record this, so I'm going to give it a lot of thought over the weekend as I'm puttering around and doing various things. I'm really intrigued by, though, having a Wacom EMR stylus. You know, another tool for my daily doodle project. Let's see. Oh. John has a topic that is both a frustration and kind of a personality disorder that we both suffer from. And that's...
I think the way I can introduce this is our friend and occasional co-host on the show, Don Sorcinelli, a.k.a. Don Cicillini, a.k.a. Don the Evil One, often talks about how when he has a garage sale, all the men come over to his table of bags. Where, you know, people are mostly interested in what will be available. And I've had the same thing. I probably have more bags. I know I have more bags between suitcases, backpacks, sleeves, everything else in my closet than my wife has purses. And, you know, I might have more bags than she has jewelry. I mean, I just have a ton of bags and there's never been a perfect one. Earlier this year, my attempt to, so, you know, here's the thing let's start off this conversation with is, do you carry everything you could conceivably need on a daily basis, or do you just carry what you know you will use?
Yes to both.
That is sort of the thing that I have struggled with quite a bit, because there are a lot of things I could conceivably need, but I might only need once a month.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that
conceivably need, so
yes,
that covers.
But the fact that I have two offices on our campus, and I have a home apartment that is a 15-minute walk away, means that I am functionally never more than a half hour away from anything I own that I use regularly.
Right.
So I keep kind of going back and forth with carry a big enough bag to carry all the little doodads and, you know, spare this and extra cable for that and extra battery for that and all that, or carry just what you need. In the past month, I've been carrying my iPad, my Apple Pencil, my AirPods, my wallet, and like a Swiss Army knife and some keys.
Okay. That's not too many things.
That's been about it, and it's been a nice freeing experience. But yet today I swapped to a bag because it's going to be warming up here. And so my Scotty vest that I've been using to carry all my things in is going to be thankfully in my closet. And I added a bunch of stuff into that bag and didn't use any of it all day.
Now let me ask you something. So I counted the six things you carry as you were talking.
Mm-hmm.
Do you not carry, because I guess the proximity of your office is in your home, do you not carry an emergency USB battery charger?
No, I actually don't. And that is because everything is such close proximity and I have charging cables at most of those locations.
That part I guessed. Yeah. So you don't need cables. You don't need a USB battery charger for emergencies when you need to have power between the 15 minutes of your walking.
I mean, I have a USB battery right here because it was in my bag today. And, of course, I did not need it. But you know, it's there.
Yeah. I guess, now that batteries in my phone and various, you know, other mobile devices are so good, quite honestly, I haven't used a mobile battery in years, now that I think about it. I think the last time I had to charge something while, you know, wandering around was probably 2016 in London, you know, where I was walking a lot and wandering and posting things. But that was the last time, I think.
The only place that I am planning in the next year that I might carry this external battery, and it's not a very big one. This is just you know, I can get maybe two charges of my iPhone out of this one.
Yeah.
Would be Disney World.
Yeah, that's kind of
interesting. Because the last time I was there, I did need a little charger in my pocket so that when my phone was invariably dying after taking too many pictures or looking at it while waiting in line or things like that, I did need to top off a few times. But that's really been the only time I've needed an external battery in the last few years.
Yeah, you know, and the reason I ask you this with great and personal interest is because the bag I've been using, which is a Rick Steves day bag. Does it have a name? It has a fancy name. It's a Rick Steves. Wait, that's the wrong one. I bought two. Okay, so I've been using this thing called the Rick Steves Civita, which is, I think, a town in Italy, shoulder bag. And it is a small day bag, so it's smaller than a backpack, about half the size of a conventional backpack, maybe even smaller, maybe one third. And it has been perfect for carrying an iPad Mini, a USB keyboard, a small USB keyboard, not much bigger than an iPad Mini, USB batteries. I used to carry two USB batteries in old days, by the way. I'm down to one. And a whole bunch of cables, USB-C, USB-A, lightning, you know, just kind of anything I might possibly need. A couple of conventional pens with ink, you know, those kind of things. And a hodgepodge of other stuff that, quite frankly, I haven't used in a long time. And I need to rethink about how I carry stuff because it was getting pretty heavy. And it was so heavy, really, it kind of tore the bottom of the bag, which has been, you know, I've used it, boy, 3 years, 4 years, 3 or 4 years now. So, and it's put on, if I have to estimate, it's probably put on enough miles to go around the world twice. So it's put a lot, you know, I've put a lot of mileage on it. And, you know, the fact that it didn't last as long as some other bags, okay, because it's a lightweight bag. It's not one of those big burly bags that add weight to itself. And so I felt like, you know what, I got my money's worth from it, and I ordered another one exactly like it. And I also ordered one that's very similar to it, except with backpack straps, which is really tiny. Looks like when I used to carry my daughter's backpack when she was a kid, which is kind of humorous looking. But, you know, I just didn't want a giant bag.
Well, and that's also the question, you know, a giant bag, there are certain things that come on certain size bags. Yeah. So one thing that I like is a strap that's long enough that I can either make it a shoulder strap or sling it across my body and distribute weight evenly.
Right.
And you don't find those like on laptop sleeves, for example, which right now what I just put all my stuff in, and it actually fits nicely, is this iPad sleeve that I've had for a few years.
Yeah.
That has a front pocket so I can put my AirPods and a few other things in that. But that iPod or that iPad sleeve doesn't have any kind of strap or handle. It's just meant to be thrown in a bag or carried like a notepad.
Right.
And while that's fine, if I'm walking somewhere, I would like to have a strap for it. And so if I go for a bag that's got a crossbody strap like I have on a few of my bags, it adds more bulk than I need. So that's another consideration in the fact that you will never find a perfect bag, I suppose.
Yeah. Oh, and for me, another bag feature that I look for, because I live in a very warm weather area, you know, our average temperature year-round is probably 80. I want something to carry a water bottle.
Mm-hmm.
And the Rick Steves bags both have two water bottle holders. And by water bottle, I don't mean like some big giant thermos thing, but, you know, like two plastic water bottles. That, you know, what is it, 16.7 ounce or whatever it is. That kind of size water bottle. And so, and yes, I do reuse my plastic bottles, so trying to preserve, you know, our environment. But I just find it necessary to have lots of water on me because it's so darn hot here most of the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that is an excellent consideration to take. And if I walked farther, the farthest I walk is a 15-minute walk, so I generally don't need to worry about water for that. But I get where you are coming from.
You know, the one thing that has become really interesting over the last couple of years is, and I think, John, I think you were probably in the same boat as I was in terms of bag desirability. 10, 15 years ago, when we bought a bag, we were probably looking for something fairly padded to preserve our notebook computer or some other electronic doodad or, you know, the early iPad or early tablets of some kind, because iPad is now, what, 11 years old this year? So, you know, even 10 years ago, we were looking for a bag that could protect all this stuff. But it seems to me that over the last couple of years, at least, I've begun to trust a device to protect itself. And so I'm less concerned about finding padding for bags or in bags anymore. Have you felt the same way, or do you still look for something that's really padded?
I kind of go in between. I do trust the device a little bit more, and I also, I've come to the realization that I'm not going to have the same bag that I take absolutely everywhere. So the bag I travel with is likely not ever going to be the bag that I take day-to-day around campus and use.
Yeah.
And so once I sort of came to that realization, it became less of a worry about padding and realizing that the padding is built into my For example, I have an eBags backpack that I use a lot for overnight trip or 2-day trips because it can fit everything I need, including my laptop and a couple of changes of clothing and stuff like that. And that's got plenty of padding in it. So really where I need the padding is vacations and, you know, planes and things like that where things are going to get jostled around, thrown. When I'm just walking around campus, it's pretty unlikely, unless I fall, that the padding would be needed. And if I fall, I'm probably worried more about myself than hopefully my device.
But. Yeah. Yeah. And that actually happened to me, about half a year ago. My toe got caught on an uneven sidewalk, and I tripped and fell, you know, being a graceful human being that I am. And, the interesting, so I was using this unpadded Rick Steves, you know, day bag, the Civita day bag that I told you about. I had an iPad mini in there, and I had, I had a phone in there. I had my Pixel 2 in there, and a couple other things. And everything was okay, except me. I was bleeding, you know, from my arm and my leg. But the bag and the devices were just fine and dandy with no padding. So I should start putting padding, you know. Maybe I should get to go to a sports store and walk around padding so when I fall, I don't skin myself anymore. On the mainland, it's, I think, less a problem because most people wear long-sleeve shirts in Hawaii. You can, but you are probably, you know, making yourself suffer needlessly by wearing a long-sleeve shirt in a hot weather, humid environment. So what is did you find your perfect bag? I guess is the question. Or
no, I'm still looking. Like I said, I have this sleeve. I think I'm going to try this for a while. Yeah. I'm looking to see if there are sleeves like it on Amazon that are reasonably priced that maybe I could try. And there are a few that I might pick up that are less than, you know, $20 or $15. So it's within the realm of if I try it and I don't really like it that much, I can either return it or just give it to someone and say, well, that didn't work for me. But it's, you know, it's the struggle of too big versus not big enough.
Well, while you're talking, I'm looking up something for you right now. Let's see, where can I find it? I've bought a number of bags from ricksteves.com. Rick Steves is really a travel company who happens to sell bags. You know, based on their philosophy on how to travel. I'm looking to see if there's anything there, but I don't see anything there. Maybe in accessories. But if you're looking for a lightweight bag, and by you, I mean people, you know, our fives of listeners. I would recommend heading over to Rick Steves. I should note, I've never traveled using the company. I kind of buy their bags and some of his books to thank him for his free videos on YouTube that helped me in travel planning, and actually when I went to Scotland a while back. So it's kind of my way of saying thank you to having a good service. But they've got a number of bags there, and their shipping is really fast. I mean, I ordered, I think, like Saturday night, and it got here Thursday. And to Hawaii, that's a long way, you know. So, no, I don't see anything like what you might need. Except for the, I don't know how to pronounce this. I think it's another Italian town name. There's a Veloce guide bag for iPad for $40 on the website. So, heck, I might check that out. Maybe I should have ordered it.
the sickness is spreading.
It's a sickness.
It's a
sickness.
It really is.
Yeah.
And I think of all the vices I could have in my life.
Yeah.
And I don't drink. I don't smoke. I just buy a lot of bags.
Yeah. Same here, right? So, you know, the worst thing you can do is make our gait uneven from carrying a lot of weight on one side. So anyway, so a Veloce guide bag for iPad, designed to fit iPads and tablets, room for your books and cameras too, slim and expandable, and it has a nice padded shoulder strap. So let's see, how big is it? Product details... It is 11.25 inch by 8 inch by 1.5 inch. So it's pretty compact, you know. Mm-hmm. And it says, because again it's a travel company, it's small enough to be permitted in many museums. And that turned out to be important because I know we went to a couple of museums where if you had a bag of a certain size, it wasn't going in with you. So I should.
Well, that is one of the things I've become very enamored with. So there's the EDC community, Everyday Carry. So what people take with them, you can actually go, well, and if you're interested, you can actually go on Reddit, and there is a subreddit. Mm-hmm. So if you just go to the, it's just EDC, all caps, people post what is their everyday carry, what they carry with them every single day. And it's interesting to see what people prioritize and what people need versus what they don't need. And so it is not uncommon that people struggle with this. Do I take everything? Do I only take the absolute essentials? Do I go somewhere in between? So the I'm thinking the second one up there right now, this person has some usual things like a wallet and keys and phone, but then a handkerchief, a lighter, a Swiss Army knife, and then you've got another one where it's, you know, obviously people who work in military or law enforcement, you know, they've got weapons that they carry with them every day. So it's an interesting subreddit if you're looking for what you might find useful, what you might not. I would suggest if you have some of these things at home and you've always thought, well, gee, would it be useful to have that or not, throw it in your pocket for a month or two and see. I started carrying a Swiss Army knife about a year ago, and I'd always kind of wanted to get into it, and I thought, well, will I use it? And I come across a use about once every week or so where it does save me a little bit of annoyance that I do have a little blade in my pocket or a pair of scissors or whatever little object, whichever knife has left carrying, you know, a little screwdriver. But try it out. For some people, I always thought, you know, I always joked when I was a teenager that I should carry a lighter even though I don't smoke, because then I could harness the power of flame anywhere I was at. But that turned out to be insanely useless for me because I don't need to light things on fire that often.
Yeah, yeah. And there's a website I just found called everydaycarry.com with a lot of interesting photos of, you know, what people carry every day and a list of what it is they carry. It's pretty neat.
Yeah. So I recommend, if you've never looked into this community, it's an interesting community to follow, just to see what other people are doing and what other people carry around with them every day that they view as necessary.
This is fascinating, actually. I've never heard of it until you mentioned it today. Oh, I remember why I didn't buy the Veloce guide bag for iPad, by the way. It doesn't have a water bottle holder, as far as I can figure. Yeah. But other than that, and it's only 12 ounces, by the way. And that's the other thing I like about the bags from Rick Steves, which, again, I have no, you know, financial interest of any kind, just kind of a fan of their philosophy, their travel philosophy.
Well, Rick Steves is one of the few trusted names, I think, in the travel industry, based on all of his years of work at PBS and with PBS series and things like that. So,
yeah,
he is obviously, I think, without realizing it, been an inspiration to me when I travel, to carry as little as possible and just enjoy where I'm at.
Yeah.
I know you and I used to, when we would go to the MVP summit and things like that, you'd see people just carrying, you know, bags and bags and bags. It's like, how are you enjoying yourself when half of your life is just lugging around all of these things to this conference?
You got to wonder, right? I mean, I remember that and I'm thinking this is normal. And now I look back and I think, what were you thinking? How in the world can you think that was normal? You know, that is bizarre. You're carrying too much stuff. But I need two notebook computers. No, you don't.
Yeah. Well, all right. I mean, I was carrying a Surface Pro, iPad Pro, an iPad Mini, a MacBook Pro, Apple Watch, and iPhone.
That was just about a year ago?
Yeah, it was about a year and a half ago. Yeah. And now when I travel, I typically am down to watch, phone, iPad, and MacBook. Okay. And I think at some point, I know you have stopped carrying a full-size laptop when you travel.
Yep, stopped that years ago.
I can VNC into this MacBook from anywhere through the iPad. So it's pretty tempting for me. Of course, then the idea that I'm 800 or 1,000 miles away from my laptop always kind of makes me a little uneasy in case I need to get quote-unquote real work done. But there's more and more solutions for that on the iPad every day. So
yeah. When I travel these days, by the way, I don't even carry a full-size tablet. I travel at my trusty iPad Mini 4.
You are just living the best life, Todd.
You know?
I will, by the time I am your age, I will hopefully be you.
And I'll be dead.
I would like the doodling ability. No, no, you will still be around. You'll just be my mentor and be a little older than you are now. But, you know, we'll be on like Mobile Views 1086 or something like that. And we'll be looking back fondly at good old 286 and saying, yep, those were the days.
Yeah. Okay. So we actually managed to stretch this podcast out from, gee, what are we going to talk about, to about 38 minutes. So I know it's getting late where you are. And that's it for me. You got anything, John?
I'm good.
All righty. Funny, before we started talking, I was telling John, we should add, or I was thinking about adding an app of the week kind of thing based on on John's app pick, which I found so interesting last week, which was called, what was it called? Just Press Record? Was that what it was called?
Yes, Just Press Record.
Yeah, which I bought, and I really haven't tried much, but... So I thought, we should start doing that on occasion. I really like that idea of learning new things. Anyway, MobileViews Podcast 286, not 85. Happy Chinese New Year, Happy Lunar New Year, Happy Groundhog Day, and whatever else day it is, I'm not sure. We will talk to you next time.